This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest with me, Juliet Jacobs, and also T. Xiao Ik. Earlier, we were discussing how universities are playing a role in producing PPEs for the frontliners. Mm-hmm. But now, in relation to our second story, we've got a poll running on Twitter.
Yes, we asked you, do you agree with the online posters that the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development put up yesterday on how women should act or behave to prevent conflict at home during this movement control order period? So, 85.4% of you have said no, you disagree with them. 10.7% say, what's the big deal? And just about 4% have said, yes, you agree with them. So do continue to take that poll at BFM Radio. WhatsApp us your thoughts as well at 018-789-8899.
So yes, it did seem like April Fools had come a day early when Malaysia's Women, Family and Community Development Ministry released a set of public service announcements in the form of these online posters on their Facebook and Instagram accounts with advice on how to prevent quarrels between spouses at home during this current movement control order period. Mm-hmm. So in the first of a series of four posts, all of them which bore the hashtag Wanita Cegah COVID-19, mm-hmm. right? The ministry urged wives not to nag their husbands, but instead recommended that they encourage their partners to help with household chores because sometimes men just don't realise that they should be helping in the home.
Mm. Another post suggested that women who are not too happy with the way their husbands are helping out at home should not admonish them, but should instead use humour when advising their husbands and maybe even employ the voice of the cartoon character Doraemon for added effect. Just for some context, this is how Doraemon, a male robot character, sounds.
Yappari, koe katamari ga nai. Nobita-kun da na. Tsure modosanakya.
So I dream of talking to my husband in that tone, you know, and singing along like that.
If only to give him nightmares, of course.
So, you know, a third post encourages spouses to count till 20 if they're having an argument, so as to avoid saying anything hurtful. So according to the ministry, in this post, they said in 20 seconds, one's brain will become more rational and calm, and therefore one will act more rationally during such verbal disagreements. Mm-hmm. And the fourth message from the ministry suggested that mothers working from home during this COVID-19 outbreak should avoid wearing their home clothes while working. Mind you, this is at home. Mm-hmm. And instead don some makeup and dress neatly and make sure that they are well groomed too. So please, no stray hairs out of place.
So the backlash was swift and merciless and sometimes very humorous too. So we recommend you look up Doraemon or hashtag Gelak Manja Doraemon on Twitter if you need some laughs when it comes to how Malaysians responded to this particular piece of advice. But many also took the ministry to task for sending such messages and questioned their priorities during a time of crisis like the one that we are facing now. So speaking to Malaysia Kini, former Women, Family and Community Development Deputy Minister Hannah Yeo criticised the current minister, Datuk Sri Rina Harun, and her deputy, Siti Zala Muhammad Yusof, for being, quote-unquote, completely detached from the reality faced by Malaysian women. Hannah was quoted as saying, in crisis time, political leadership is crucial to provide direction for government agencies. Many families are struggling to put food on the table, let alone have spare money to spend on clothes and makeup.
And women's rights groups similarly criticised the ministry, calling out the messages as sexist and misogynistic. So also speaking to Malaysia Kini, Women's Aid Organisation Executive Director Sumitra Viswanathan described the ministry as being quote-unquote out of touch with their fundamental role, which is to protect women and not to reinforce stereotypes of women needing to look good for a good life. Mm-hmm. And Sumitra also shared how women have been reaching out to the NGO's domestic violence shelter since the first day of the MCO. before, and that she felt that the minister should be working on assuring survivors that services are in place to support and protect them, including rescues by the police when it is critically needed.
Last week, the ministry's corporate communications department reported that the Talian Kasih helpline saw an increase of 57% in calls following the implementation of the MCO. At that point, they recorded 1,893 calls to the helpline for children and victims of domestic abuse since the MCO started. Again, that's an increase of 57%. That's more than half. And so they did add that a lot of callers were also seeking advice regarding the pandemic. So, I mean, after all the criticisms and the backlash, the ministry yesterday issued a public apology for their advice, saying that the campaign's messages were merely suggestions which were thought to be helpful in ensuring a harmonious household during the MCO. In a statement, they said, and I'm quoting here, "We have taken into account the response to the posters. They were merely suggestions, some tips on how dressing up while working from home can contribute to self-confidence and positivity. We are sorry for being insensitive. We will be sure to be more careful and consider all aspects before posting suggestions or tips from today onwards."
So this is just, I would say, another misstep from the ministry. Perhaps, you know, first there was the decision to shut down the Talian Kasih hotline in the first place, you know, when the movement control order came into place. And that drew flak from many because, you know, that's the time when there's so many people at home, you know, and sometimes they're vulnerable and perhaps stuck with their abusers. And, you know, they took away a helpline during their critical time. But of course, following the criticism from those concerned parties, the ministry did revoke the suspension and the helpline has continued. And luckily too, I mean, you know, seeing that spike that you just spoke about, Shaoik, you know, 57%. And there was another one. Deputy Minister Siti Zaila also received flak last month for discussing Sharia-compliant attire policy for female flight attendants, while at the same time, thousands of MAS airline staff had to take unpaid leave due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Misplaced priorities, right?
Right, and very out of touch with, you know, what's happening on the ground. So earlier today, I got in touch with Sivanandi Thanendaran, the Executive Director of the Asian Pacific Resource and Research Centre for Women, or AARO for short, to get her thoughts on what the ministry should be focusing on during the MCO and this COVID-19 outbreak. But I started off by asking her, of course, how she felt about those four PSAs that the ministry released yesterday.
So the messages that were released, you know, reiterated certain stereotypes about women and also about, you know, gender roles in the house, you know. So many videos and memes have already emerged in the last 24 hours about Doraemon, so I won't elaborate further on that. But most importantly, there was an underlying message, you know, that the responsibility of keeping peace in the house, you know, falls squarely on the shoulders of women. And if we were somehow, you know, to talk nice, or to like kind of couch our asks in humor, somehow that would prevent arguments and fights and presumably violence, you know. So the source of discord in a household is usually around more serious matters, you know. It could be about the financials of the household or interference of relatives and other parties in the relationship, on how do you raise your children, etc. And, you know, and these are issues that go deeper than the superficial concepts, you know, that were mentioned in the messages. Secondly, if discord leads to violence, then that's presumably is because one partner is a violent person. And no matter how, you know, we talk nicely or whether we act nicely or how we dress is not really the trigger for the violence, but we have to actually look at the person being a violent person and how do we deal with that, you know, in the relationship. So I think that the messaging was a little bit off and inappropriate.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people were saying that it's not only a disservice to women, but to men as well. You know, it's like infantilizing them, you know, making them like the children of incapable of doing anything. What do you feel about that?
No, indeed, you know, so it infantilized both men and women, you know, that men react positively to a Doraemon tone and a Galak Manja, right? And there are many men I know who actually love a good debate, and a concrete discussion and talking to women with strong opinions, right? Mm-hmm. And they listen to the advice of their mothers, their partners, their sisters, even their daughters, you know. So even if that advice doesn't come, attached with a laughter at the end of it. So I also feel that from what I've witnessed in relationships, many couples today are decidedly, you know, sharing responsibilities in the household and beyond the traditional roles, right? So yeah. Messages can put forward what's already happening on the ground, that, you know, both men and women can cook, and they do, you know, that men and women can do laundry, and that they do, you know, and men and women can change light bulbs or sort out the plumbing, etc. And they're doing this already every day at the household level. Mm. And these are tasks on self-sufficiency and independence, you know, and everyone should know how to do these tasks.
Yeah. And okay, so this message came out, you know, during an MCO from an official government agency, you know, and we're in a time of crisis where there's so many different, I mean, so many things that pressing issues that we need to face, you know. What is the impact of such messaging coming at a time like this?
Yeah, so that's what really kind of upsets me deeply about this, you know, that this health crisis is actually having a toll on all of us, right? Mm. There's fear and anxiety about our health and ensuring our families stay safe. Many of us have elderly in our families, and now we can even see that there are numbers of deaths amongst the younger age groups as well, right? Mm. Because mm-hmm. a few teenagers have died, I think, in Italy and the UK. And we can see from the statistics released from the Ministry of Health yesterday that between the ages of 26 and 30, there's also some amount of death occurring, right?
Yeah.
So helping women alleviate some of that anxiety would help to a great deal, you know, like MythBusters, you know, to help women and men make decisions about what's the best way to prevent the spread of COVID-19, because we've seen there's a lot of false products and false messaging out there, right? Mm-hmm. Being probably circulated to us on numerous WhatsApp lists. And,
yes.
you know, so some myth busting would be useful. Or even stress busters, like, you know, calming quotes or a piece of poetry that is able to help us, you know, get through this anxious time, you know, would be critical. The other, of course, is being quarantined 24/7 with someone who is abusing you, you know, either verbally or emotionally or even physically, and giving some tips or lifelines to women and girls who are facing these situations would also be essential. I mean, it's something that they can think about.
Mm-hmm.
The last is, I think, something that's often overlooked, is that since everyone is cooped up, you know, there may be predators out there grooming our kids, you know. So tips on identifying such behaviors and how to know if your child is being groomed, or what to do in such a situation. And if you think that grooming behavior is occurring, you know, would also be something that is a useful set of messages that people can actually use, you know, in their daily life, because I think it often gets overlooked.
Okay. And, you know, besides the health crisis that we're facing, I mean, some of the social impacts of the virus is significant, and many women are being disproportionately affected. I mean, can you help unpack that for us, you know, what that sort of means to women as well?
Well, firstly, of course, I mean, most of our societies and, you know, our generation has not actually faced a pandemic of this scale before, you know, so they're both community repercussions, they're national repercussions, as well as, you know, regional and global repercussions, right?
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, we are just beginning to kind of look at what are the trends that are emerging. And I think that so we have to, as all different stakeholders, unpack this, what the social impact on our is going to be like on our communities. So some women, we think, you know, are fortunate enough, you know, to work from home. But that's we're not only working from home, but we're also working at home as well. So there's work has become 24/7 and seamless, you know, in some way. And, you know, and so there may be no respite or times of rest, you know, other than when you sleep, right? Children who are, some women have reported that children who are joining online classes, you know, some of us have had to figure out the technology to facilitate that and help with schoolwork as well, which were things that we were not prepared for, you know, and the care burden has increased significantly because at home, you know, because now children are away from school and, you know, we may have to 24/7 take care of them, their meals, their laundry and everything. So yet employers may not be cognizant of the fact that this care burden has increased for women workers, right? Mm-hmm. So enabling perhaps the idea of care leave is important at this time of pandemics where, you know, the care burden has increased significantly for both men and women in the house. Many men and women are working in certain sectors like tourism and hospitality and airlines, you know, which has already been recognized by many are facing a downturn and they are looking at the prospect of job loss or pay without leave, right? Mm. But there are also many, many other non-essential services, right? For example, women who are working in department stores and, you know, in hair salons, you know, and manicure, pedicure salons. Yeah. And then we get to recognize that how much of our economy is actually dependent on the non-essentials. You know, so and they've also, you know, look at the prospect of losing their jobs or they've been asked to go on leave without pay. And this puts a tremendous stress, you know, on women and families. Right. So we have to consider both the short term and the long term implications of this pandemic, you know, and how it's going to actually, you know, transform, you know, our society as well as our economy.
Okay, and what do you think the ministry should be focusing on instead, in terms of helping Malaysian women during this time? I mean, for example, we saw at the start of the MCO, Talian Kase, the helpline for victims of domestic abuse, was shut down for a while. Of course, it's been reinstated, and now they're even seeing a 57% increase in calls since the implementation of the MCO. But what do you think the ministry should be focusing on instead?
I think that definitely, you know, I'm really happy they took the criticism on board and reinstated the hotline, which was really essential during this time. And I think that they're really looking at all of the calls that are coming through. But of course, there's a lot more that, you know, can actually be thought about and done, you know. So, for example, with the stimulus package, looking that, you know, ensuring that aid gets into the hands of families that need them the most is something that I think the Ministry of Women can do. I mean, the PM spoke about Makcik Kia, who has, you know, one son who has already graduated and sells goreng pisang. Mm-hmm. But actually, there's a diversity of women out there, the diversity of Makcik Kias out there is something that the ministry can work at unpacking, you know. There may be a Makcik Kia who is out there who may have three kids under the age of five and is deeply dependent on rather expensive stuff, you know, like milk and diapers, you know, on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And if she's lost her job, I mean, those kids can't get fed, you know. There could be a Makcik Rokia who may be an elderly grandma who is looking after her, you know, her grandchildren, right? Mm. And as a son or daughter-in-law might have passed away, right? So she's also a head of a household in some way or another. There could be a Makcik Kia who may need dialysis and travel up and down during the MCO period, right? And if she doesn't, if she's unable to get remunerated, she has to spend more money in transport as well as accessing these dialysis services may become more difficult, you know. And there could be a Kia who is in her 40s and who is unmarried, but she may have sole responsibility for her elderly parents, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, the Ministry of Women has a large database through the work they do with the LPPKN, you know, mm-hmm. and they can actually analyze the different scenarios and help identify the women who are most in need of aid at this time.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, if they can also help to look at if the economic implications for certain industries are longer, you know, the ministry can also come up with upskilling courses for women who may lose their current jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. So I hope the ministry can do, you know, look into two key topics. You know, one is women who are not in the workforce and concrete strategies and programs to enable them to join either the workforce or to be, you know, involved in the labor force in one way or another. And two, women whose jobs are at risk due to automation, because that's the other thing that we are seeing, that so many topics are coming up that in the time of a global crisis, if these jobs were automated, it would just allow the economy to run efficiently anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And women are actually some of those who are in either the industry jobs or the factory jobs, the clerical and administrative tasks, which are now at risk of being automated. And this is a significant risk to women losing their jobs if this should happen, you know. So I think that there are a lot of really deep issues for the ministry to tackle, because this is what women on the ground will be facing in the coming year.
So that was Sivanandithanandaran. She's the Executive Director of the Asian Pacific Resource and Research Center for Women, or ARRW for short. So, you know, she spoke a lot about how, women are having to take on all these extra tasks,
yes.
right? And the unpaid labor. And, you know, we both know very much
the emotional burden.
The emotional burdens and all of that. And, you know, in an article in The Atlantic, it also points to how women's independence will be a silent victim of the pandemic across the world. So, you know, in the article, it pointed to how we are not just living through a public health crisis, but an economic one as well, you know, much like what Siva was talking about. As much as normal life is suspended for these next few months, job losses are also going to be inevitable. And at the same time, things like school closures and household isolation are moving the work of caring for children from the paid economy, such as, you know, nurseries, schools and babysitters, to the unpaid one.
Yeah, so the coronavirus will end up smashing the bargain that so many dual earner couples have made in the developed world, you know. We've been able to enjoy the privilege of both partners working because someone else is looking after our children. But now couples will have to decide which one of them takes the hit.
That's
and,
right.
you know, one partner will be sort of on the losing end of the bargain.
For sure.
And despite the mass entry of women into the workforce during the 20th century, the phenomenon of the second shift still exists. Across the world, women, including those with jobs, do more housework and have less leisure time than their male partners. And this pandemic will probably only make this worse.
Yes.
So over on Twitter, we asked you, do you agree with the online posters and the messaging that the ministry had put out? 86.4% of you are resounding no, you do not agree. 9.6% say, what's the big deal? And 4% of you agree. Our comments, quite a variety of comments. Oliver says it shows that the minister and the team are out of touch with Malaysia and Malaysians in general. Motus 2711 said it's insulting to both men and women. Princess Leia says, most definitely not. It is degrading and insulting to women, very callous and misogynistic. Dubi Charlie says, how about asking the hubby to stop nagging and speak like Doraemon instead? And a couple of comments saying that this provided some much needed comic relief during this difficult times we're going through. I mean, yes, there was comic relief that inadvertently came out of it. But I think there was also a lot of damage that was done in the way it perpetuated stereotypes. Dr. Amir Siddiq, our favorite psychiatrist on the show, tweeted, he had commented that women are leading in all aspects across the globe. My best friends are women leaders. We should be empowering more girls and women into STEM and leadership positions. Instead, we're asking them to mimic Doraemon.
Yeah.
And over on WhatsApp, a very passionate response from Anthony, calling the posters absolute rubbish. A lot of the women I know are, you know, working to make money, taking care of the kids, cooking and cleaning, because a lot of men are incapable of doing these tasks properly. My house, for example, would literally combust in flames if it weren't for my mother holding the fort together. The posters, sexist and misogynistic, serve as nothing but cement that keep the pillars of patriarchy erect, and they couldn't have come at a worse time too, when domestic abuse cases are on the rise. And he says the posters are an insult to him as a guy as well. He's capable of doing his share without somebody saying sayang, sayang, and offering kisses in exchange.
Oh, we need more people like you, Anthony.
Yes. Maggie also said that all leaders, both public and private, should be more responsible in their advice and instructions at this point. The same goes for celebrities and influencers. Every action should be well thought out and not off the cuff. Very good point there, Maggie. And if we have just a little bit of time, I'd like to read this open letter that I came across on Facebook by a father, Kamal Kadir. I hope you don't mind, Kamal. I'm just going to read out some excerpts from your letter. He says, I'm writing to you as a son of my mother, As a son of my mother, husband to my wife, and father of my daughter, I am embarrassed that I even have to write this, but I worry that if a woman were to say the same thing, you might say that they are being shrill and overdramatic, or worse, they should know their place and keep quiet. You are not developing women. You are stopping them from being leaders. This is not how I want my daughter to grow up thinking that she has no power or control. She deserves better. All women deserve better. And I thought, I really wanted to read that because it's coming from a man, mm-hmm. a husband, and a father. And we need to hear more voices like these because women, we are already bearing that care burden, the unpaid labor, the emotional burden. And on top of that, if we have authorities who are supposed to be taking care of our welfare, denigrating us in this way, I don't know what to say.
Denigrating us and, again, expecting us to be the people to make the household a perfect place, you know, to always
to bend over backwards,
to bear the burden mm-hmm. of a happy household, of creating a happy household in whatever circumstance, you know, even if it's a COVID-19 outbreak.
Right.
You know, how much do you expect us to
How Stepford Wives is this?
But I'm afraid we're running out of time. But, you know, continue to share your thoughts. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can always send us WhatsApp messages at 018-789-8899. And, you know, if you want to look us up on Facebook, you can search for BFM The Bigger Picture, and you can also drop us a message there. If you miss any part of the show or any part of both segments for today, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can search for that on the BFM app and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, I will be speaking to Imam Afroz Ali about how we all need to adopt a new type of economics that measures frugality and its beneficial results, as opposed to profitability through consumption and denying the consequences and, you know, resulting in what we're having now, mm-hmm. you know. So that's coming up after the news at 3 p.m. But for now, here's No Doubt with Just a Girl. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.